Welcome to episode 1037. It's Thursday, June 4th, and happy birthday to me. You're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and Harry's.com, and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. And if you want a close shave just like I have and save a ton of money, visit Harry's.com and use promo code Geek News. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everybody, got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots to talk about. I think it's going to be a good one. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. It's my absolute pleasure to be here. I want to give a warm welcome to all the Ohana and all the longtime, basically everyone that's a longtime listener and viewer of this show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. And I tell you, got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots to share. And yes, it is my birthday today. Had a little cake, a little ice cream, a little. And my wife cooked me my favorite meal, which was fantastic. And for those of you that don't know, I absolutely am insane about spaghetti. I could eat it 5 days a week, but obviously it's not on the health plan. So definitely I love pasta. So did that. And the kids, of course, I raised in Japan, but my son and daughter sung happy birthday to me, so it's kind of fun. And but yeah, a year older, and you're all right along here with me for this ride. That time machine does not stop whatsoever. But I guess I want to again welcome everyone, and thanks for being here. And as we click off another year on the clock from a health standpoint, the website at geeknewscentral.com continues to march on. And if you're brand new to the show, I want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all the great content on the website. There's a lot of stuff there that is being put up by the team. They're in writing mode, so I'm very, very pleased. Keep an eye on the Pro Gear site as well. We're going to be putting a bunch of stuff up that Don Bain did from NAB, and we'll have some of those interviews coming up here shortly. But more importantly, again, if you're brand new, it's simple, simple, simple at geeknewscentral.com to subscribe to the show. If you have an iOS device, just click on the iTunes link. Bam, you're done. Click on the Android link. Bam. If you don't have a podcatcher application, we're going to send you to the site to get one, download it, install it. And you're going to be able to, bam, click subscribe, and you're going to be subscribed to the show and never miss a single episode. So for everyone else, the RSS feed is on the website. Or if you're completely confused, say, I don't know what you are talking about. There's more subscribe options. There's a button there for that. There's no excuse. Get subscribed to the show today. We want you to do that for sure. And while you're on the website, take time and get signed up for our newsletter. You're going to find a link to that a little bit further down the page. And all I do really is I send out an email post-show that really has everything that I talk about tonight on the podcast. So every link, every article, unless it's just scrap news, I don't necessarily send that. But it's just a one-way email newsletter. I don't spam you or anything like that. So get signed up for the newsletter. Of course, if you want to reach me, you can do that very, very easily at Geek News on Twitter. geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. That is the number one way to reach me. To guarantee something is going to get on the show, you can put in the subject line, GNC comment, everything, good, bad, ugly, in between, what you like, what you hate, what you want to comment on. And I definitely appreciate when you guys do provide me feedback. It's greatly appreciated. So, of course, you can follow me on Google+, Facebook, all those places. And you can watch this show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Android TV, the Google TV, Chromecast, whatever way you want to watch. You can watch this thing, kick back in your lazy boy, and just look for the Tech Podcast channel, at least on the Roku, and soon some new stuff for the Android.tv. But, of course, we want to thank our primary sponsor tonight. Folks have been here for a long, long time. We want to thank GoDaddy.com for being a sponsor of this show, helping us keep the lights on here. And really, we've got some great deals, and they continue. In June here, the GoDaddy specials are just incredible. $1 a month economy hosting with free domain using the promo code CJCGNC1H. Or get a .com for 99 cents by using the promo code CJCGNC99. And really, the savings continue at GoDaddy using the $1 a month website builder for 12 months with a free domain and Outlook email address by using the promo code CJCGNCGOT. But it's real simple. You don't even have to remember those codes. Just come over to the website, click on the link. And if you're looking for, if you're looking for a domain name, click on the domain link. If you're looking for a hosting account, click on the $1 a month economy hosting. If you're a business owner and you want to really make it simple to get up and get running, you can do that with the website builder. If you're thinking about doing a podcast, that a $1 a month economy hosting for the first 12 months is the best way really to get started. And of course, at 30% off on new product purchases, that just about covers everything. There are a few restrictions. All those restrictions show in the actual offer when you get over on the GoDaddy website. So use my codes, share them. And I know we had some people tweeting them after the last podcast. I really love it when you do that. That helps the cause here in a big way, especially when you link to the geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy page. That is the way to go. And we'll keep our fingers crossed here that lots of you do that after every show. It does help folks in many, many ways. So thanks for GoDaddy being a sponsor here. And for those of you that are helping me share the love and share savings to friends, family members, and people that you just basically like to share information with. Okay. So tonight, I'm just looking on YouTube. Made some major changes to the streaming setup. Was not happy with the quality of the content going on to YouTube on the live stream. So it should be at least 50% better tonight. We did some tweaks and some settings. I did some studying over the last couple of days. We've really optimized the media encoder. So the YouTube stream should look a ton better, which will result in a better product. And everything on YouTube looked kind of cloudy. And I think it was just because we didn't have the settings set the way it should be. So I'm pleased with where we're at there. But my son, of course, left for Japan. He is now working. This is good news. my sister-in-law had has a friend who has a chain of restaurants. And they're just sit down family type restaurants. And he is learning the trade of serving and taking care of customers in Japan. And for those of you that have ever traveled in Japan, you will know that your experience in a restaurant is extremely different than what you experience here in the United States. There can be, I think what will happen, and I'll be honest with you, I'm really, he may only know the language maybe 50, 60%, but he's going to learn there what it's like to become world-class in service in a restaurant business. They do things with precision. It's, there's no monkeying around. Customer attention is paramount. And people are busy. They want to get in. They want to get out. So I'm excited to see after he comes back in a month what his experience was. He's making about $6 an hour. So no tips in Japan. So he's going to be working for his money. And 3 to 5 hours a day, I think he's working. So that will keep him a little bit out of trouble. But we'll see how he comes back and shares. I'm looking forward to share with you guys too. As we talked on the last show, my son was sick. He's better. But he got a little bit of a ping pong. The next day, it hit me the Tuesday after the show. Oh, man, it felt like a semi-truck had run over me. But I powered through that day and kind of came back. But It's all good now. Also, we've made some tweaks to the audio and the video portion of the show on the production side. So you've probably been hearing that already. If you haven't, just let us know if you're noticing things are sounding too peaked or too low. I don't think you're going to have that problem, but I'm excited about that. Hey, I want to thank for all the listener support, all of you that have come in as insiders at geekniscentral.com/insider. I definitely appreciate that. And some of the private feedback I got from the last show. We will be doing a new media show on Saturday. And again, I will be leaving Tuesday afternoon. There will be a show on Monday, but I'm leaving Tuesday afternoon for Michigan, flying out for the Michigan 400. Cannot promise that there will be a show on Thursday, but I'm going to do my best to get a show out. But as you guys know, at MIS, I am going to be a guest of GoDaddy. Been dealing with the paperwork with NASCAR and basically making sure that I'm allowed to carry a camera and do an interview. You're not, you know, they are like, holy cow, restricted in the pit area and in the garage. You are not doing video unless you are like been vetted and a very specific shot. You're not allowed to run around. They are masters at controlling the media message and got to play by their rules. It's pretty wowing to me. So anyway, happening for the race on the 14th and then coming back here to Honolulu. But anyway, so pretty full couple of weeks here, but a lot of exciting stuff. May have some cool footage for you from Michigan. Can't share with you what I'm going to be doing yet. We'll see how it turns out. But I do have a plan to provide you something special. And if everything works good, I think you guys are going to be excited with what we're going to be able to do. Okay, so anyway, that kind of wraps up my regular stack of stuff here. But I do want to remind you guys that Harrys.com is back with us this month. And Harrys was started by a couple of guys passionate about creating a better shaving experience. And I'm going to tell you, I've been on Harrys razors now for 7-8 weeks, and it's nice smooth shave. And you know, they bought a blade factory in Germany that's been crafting some of the most high quality blades for nearly 10 years, or actually the blade factory has been around longer than that, but they've cut out the middlemen and they offer an amazing shave at a fraction of the cost. Their starter kit starts at $15. That includes a razor, 3 blades, and your choice of Harry's shave cream or foaming shave gel. I did order a replacement set of blades, got the shaving cream this time, and I actually like the shaving cream just a little bit better than the foaming gel. And as an added bonus, you're going to get $5 off your first purchase with my code, GEEKNEWS. Again, $5 off. So go to harrys.com now. And Harrys will give you $5 off if you type in my code GEEKNEWS with your first purchase. That's harrys.com, harrysdotcom.com. And then the coupon GEEKNEWS at checkout for that $5 off the starter set and start shaving smarter today. So thanks for Harrys for being back with us for another round here at Geek News Central. Okay, so let me see what I've got in the stack for you, because I got a ton. And not a ton, but a ton of good stuff. I guess that's the better way to say it. And if those of you that are watching on YouTube, if you come over to live.geeknewscentral.com, love to hear from you how the video looks tonight. Look for a little feedback from the audience at large that's watching the live stream. So let's see here. Let me go ahead and save that. Let me close this. We're good. And let me go ahead and load the content for tonight. We'll start right off with a story that is tragic. A judge in Michigan has decided that he could do something to make his point clear in the sentencing of a 23-year-old Mitzi Nelson, who struck and killed a bicyclist last fall while she was driving. Police say she was too busy looking at her phone to see where she was going. The judge on Wednesday gave her 2 years of probation and 6 months in jail. She got off light for killing someone negligently 2 years of probation and 6 months in jail, with the potential of the final 3 months of that being commuted. He also gave her community service as well as fines. However, he meted out one more punishment, a very personal one. Nelson is not allowed to use, own, or even touch any other type of portable communication device for 2 years. Now, the judge basically said, I don't think she has a right to have a cell phone. I think it's a privilege. The cell phone part of the sentence wasn't actually a judge's idea. According to the State Journal, it was proposed by Jordan Bylick, whose wife Jill was the one that was killed by the young lady. In 2013, 3,154 people in the United States were killed in a motor vehicle accident involving distracted drivers, which includes using a cell phone or texting, as well as activities such as eating, using a navigation system, and adjusting the radio. Nelson's lawyer told the State Journal that his client is unlikely to appeal. I don't think she will. Now, here's the thing. If you kill somebody and you've been caught using your cell phone, texting, looking down at it, and it's or being on it without a hands-free device, whatever it may be proven that you are doing, I think this is appropriate. Now, the question is the cell phone usage continues to rise in people with the driving in vehicles? Is this going to become a heavier punishment? You know, are you going to get the time in jail and then additional time like the judges meted out here with no cell phone? Hey, I'll be the first to admit, I probably have looked at my cell phone driving. And I know if my wife is in the car, she just blasts me. She is my kind of like my check and balance. She's don't even think about it. When the phone buzzes, she'll grab it and read what's on it. And I've got my kids trained now in their car with me to do the same. I'll ask them to grab the phone and read the text or whatever it may be. And I think we all have a tendency to immediately, because we're so used to grabbing a phone, and everywhere else is almost like a mechanical reaction, right? So I've started to turn the buzzer off on mine so that when I'm driving, I don't even know that I've gotten a text. I leave it face down. If you've got it on the dashboard or wherever you've got it, I leave it face down so I can't even see it. I don't even put it in a little holder anymore. Because it's just too easy. And I'm sure any of you that have used your phone have maybe had a moment where you've drifted off a line, maybe not stepped on the brake as fast as you should. And I'm not criticizing, you know, because I think we've all been there. But we all also, as adults, need to understand that if we run somebody over, or we head on with someone, or we go across the yellow line, and we cause a wreck, we hit somebody on a sidewalk or whatever it may be, we're going to go to jail and we're going to be held accountable. And I think if we're all lucky, not to kill somebody. But I think this is a viable sentence. I think you're going to start seeing more of this. And quite frankly, I'm surprised that in this case, and maybe there's some mitigating circumstances, I don't know. But maybe she's considered herself to gotten off a little bit easy on this. But anyway, love to hear you guys' thoughts. Geeknews@gmail.com is where I want you to send the comments to. And if you don't want me to read your comments on the air, that's fine. But have you had a close call? It scared the crap out of you? Have you had one of those instances you're like, you know, you do one of those? You know, because I'm sure every one of you that looked at your phone from time to time in the vehicle have had that happen. I'd like to hear your comments. Again, if you don't want me to tell your name, I won't. But I think it'd be good to share so we all keep each other in check and we don't kill someone else or someone that's with us or ourselves by looking at the phone or some other thing that's going on in the vehicle. All right. Let me go ahead and enough lecturing get off the switch here. But of course, if you work for the federal government or previously worked for the federal government or, you know, were in the military like I was, U.S. suspect hackers in China breached about 4 million records from the Office of Personnel Management, which the records are basically on government employees. And it hinted on one article that I read is that they targeted records with individuals with security clearances. Now, there's a lot of people that work for the government that have security clearances, a lot. So 4 million is probably not even in a drop in the bucket, the number of folks that probably hold a clearance. But to think that China could potentially have 4 million names of people that hold security clearances in the United States, and then using that data could target them, their home computers, their livelihood, things that they do, pretty smart. Pretty smart on the Chinese officials to go after those specific records. And I'm sure those that are affected are probably going to be getting contacted by Uncle Sam here in the next couple of weeks. But nothing at this point. We can just about be guaranteed that you are at some point going to have your information hacked. Now, they're not giving any advice to anybody yet. They haven't come out with a list of names or warnings, but probably a host series of, you know, credit checks and all that stuff is going to have to happen. So am I surprised? Nope. But it ties into something. I was talking to a fella today about this, actually a couple of people. And I said, you know, the problem that is going on in the country right now is we are, and this is something that actually Disneyland is doing, something that Con Edison, one of our Ohana in this audience, was affected by, had H-1B workers that replaced, basically became, took over their jobs. And they bring them in from overseas. Now, there's a lot of controversy on this. Congress is looking at this right now. But you're not going to have H-1B workers working for the government. But at the same time, those folks that are IT workers out there in the space, especially those with security credentials, those that have cybersecurity backgrounds, hardening of networks, those are very extensive, gained over time skills. You're not born with those skills. And the government, frankly, doesn't pay techs that much money. Those guys, you know, maybe an IT type of tech on a pay scale. And those of you can look this up, probably a GS-10 or GS-11, 12 if they're lucky. A 12 might actually be a supervisor. Whereas maybe a GS-13 would be a real high-level supervisor, or 14. So don't get me wrong, those pay scales at the 9, at GS-10 and 11 aren't bad depending on where you're living. But if they are living in Washington, D.C., and they're working basically in the at OPM, and they're like a 10, you know, they're going to be looking probably for work somewhere else where they make more money. A 10 probably in Washington, D.C., or a GS-11, you know, a 10 may pay $70,000, 11 may pay $75,000, and a 12 may pay $80,000 a year. Some of you think that's a lot of cash, but for these guys that are have the cybersecurity background, that's really not a lot of money on a pay scale. And they can go somewhere else and make more money. So the government has restrictions on how much they can pay people, obviously. But I think if we're going to plug the holes in government systems, you're going to have to get people in there that are, you know, like have credentials of folks that work at Google. And, you know, Google are not paying their IT cybersecurity people $80,000. That's not happening. Those folks are getting paid $150,000. That's just, you know, the price that those guys can garner based on their skill sets. Now, I know there's a lot of factors there that goes into, you know, the wage level and everything else. I mean, the experience level. But when you've got companies like Con Edison, Disneyland, now we're bringing in H-1B workers with who knows what type of level experience, and the people that are actually working those jobs are training their reliefs to have them to take over. You know, have you ever done an experiment where you've been with a group of, let's say, five people, and the first person tells a story to the second one, you know, whispers it to them, and they pass it on, and by the time it gets the fifth person and they tell the story back, it's completely bamboozled? Well, every time you do this pass down, something is lost, and it's really not gained back again until something bad happens. I think what we're going to find, and I've talked about this before, I think what we're going to find if we can go into the look at the root, and this would be a great thesis for someone to do a doctorate type of thesis on, is go into the workplace and look at, okay, when a security breach happened, let's look back 5 years and see what happened to the people that were in charge of security of that ecosystem and see what had happened from a change out of people. And did they have someone leave? Did they have someone leave off for a job or that was paid more money and a junior person stepped in and tried to fill those shoes? And of course, too, we got a situation in the government where sometimes they promote people to get them out of a department because they just want to get rid of them. That happens. And so anyway, I'd love to see some data on that. The backstory when these big breaches happen is exactly how, and if it was a mistake, it was a mistake. If it was negligence, was it because the person just didn't know? So it'd be real curious. I'd love to find out more. We'll never hear that backstory. But I sure'd like to know some of those backstories. And of course, the cyber criminals are getting more sophisticated anyway, because the IT guys can put in all the security measures they want, and all it takes is one knucklehead to be on some website and click some, you know, something they shouldn't. My daughter, in case, got her machine all infected here recently. That's why she's forced to be on another network in the house. I don't even allow her on the primary network because I just know. It's about every 2 or 3 months, something happens. So, you know, she doesn't like it, but if she needs something printed, she brings me a USB stick and I scan it and then we put it in the machine that's connected to the network. It's really, I'm that anal about it here. So, anyway, that's, and even then, who knows? I could click on something. Let's completely switch gears here and talk about Microsoft. You know, it's going to get exciting here. We're, you know, that there's a number of you that are excited about Windows 10. I am. I wasn't excited about Windows 8, but I'm ready for Windows 10. I'm ready for an update. And, you know, we're 2 months away. But a little talk, let's just kind of talk just a little bit about some news that's coming out on Windows 10. Specifically, we know Windows 10 is going to be available on July 29th. And a lot of systems are going to be updated. They're already doing the pre-marketing for it. But Microsoft announced last November, Windows 10 would pack a technology called Allegiant. And if I pronounce that wrong, I apologize. It's Allegion, Allegiant, an open source framework that encouraged devices to be interoperable. Allegiant was developed by the Alcyon Alliance, a group of more than 150 companies, including the likes of Electrolux, Howell, LG, Qualcomm, that had banded together to make an open standard for the Internet of Things, IoT, so though that devices can speak to each other. And some of you have brand new appliances in your home already that has some of this technology baked in. And what's going to happen with the Windows 10 is you're going to all of a sudden very quickly have integration built into Windows that's going to talk to those devices. And see, part of the strategy here with Microsoft giving away Windows 10 is try to build adoption faster, because Apple's HomeKit and so forth that's being made by devs, folks know that because the majority of households across the world run Windows, that it'll just make it easier for those devices to talk that language. Now, we know Apple is going to be trying to make a big jump into this space, and the Apple TV is actually going to be the epicenter for a connected home, which is kind of an interesting move. A little bit of talk about that, and we'll kind of cover that later in the show. But if it all works out, the Allegion integration is going to be not just huge for Windows, but for millions of people who can't wrap their heads around setting up smart home products. In essence, any Windows 10 device, smartphone, tablet, or PC could become a smart home controller. Again, it's similar to Apple's HomeKit. And did I say that earlier for Microsoft? Anyway, so this is going to mean that it's going to be turnkey from the get-go. As it stands now, products such as LG, Electrolux appliances already have Allegion baked into them. And as they sit on store shelves, once Windows users get their hands on the new operating system, things will start to get interesting. For instance, if you're using a Windows 10 device to listen to Spotify on a Mosaic wireless speaker, users can configure Allegion through Windows Device Explorer to show a notification on the home LG television displays the name of the track and other song information. Or a slightly more complex configuration, when the user tells the system they're going to bed, Allegion can do a quick scan of all connected devices to make sure everything is as it should be. So if the garage door is still open, Allegion will not alert the user, but the system will ask if it should close the door. So this is very, very, very cool stuff. And connected home is very tightly tied to Windows 10. So get ready for a fun ride if you have devices like that are baked in with that technology already. All right, flipping the switch here. PayPal's responded to internet fury over its new terms of service. And this is something completely missed. So earlier this week, PayPal was lambasted for its new user agreement, basically saying, we're going to robo-dial you and we're going to text you at will and you can't opt out. Well, people weren't very happy about that, and PayPal has backpedaled, as you can expect. I think they weren't expecting the type of response that they got, but it definitely was not necessarily very nice at all. Those of you that like Samsung products, Big Leak has revealed Samsung's unreleased Galaxy S6 phablet. And just a couple of quick pictures for you, those of you that are watching the show today. Nice little design. Doesn't look like it's got that same plastic cheap feel to as most Samsung devices have. But same type of vibrant screen color. So anyway, we will see where this leads. But people were pretty excited about this because a lot of folks have been waiting for some other devices like the Edge and so forth. So this is one that kind of creeped out on people today. So we'll see when this gets out, what the pricing is and so forth. All right, I also talked about Disney laying off tech workers, training H-1B replacements. So I don't need to dig into that. And if you plan on going to Disneyland this year, maybe you ought to consider going somewhere else if you feel that they've done wrong by their workers. And, you know, that's, if you think about that, Disneyland, that's an American institution. And if they are, that's really, you know, just think about that. You don't get much more red, white, and blue than Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Goofy. Come on. And you're going to bring in H-1B workers to the IT stuff? Come on, bad call. Bad call. Bad Disney. Bad Mickey. All right, let me take a shot of H2O here. Game over. According to Yahoo, Apple already owns the online streaming video market. Check this out. According to some information that's been released, the Apple TV now already streams more than Roku. And I don't think this should come as a surprise because every device has, it streams more of Netflix than a Roku. Every device out there has Netflix in it. Apple TV is very limited in the number of channels it has. But Roku has 1,000 channels of stuff to look at. I'm not always in Netflix. I'm on HBO Go. I'm, you know, Crackle. I'm, you know, the Tech Podcast app, the Blueberry app. You know, I'm watching some other podcaster stuff. You know, I'm not always in Netflix and Roku. Matter of fact, I like watching Roku on my Amazon Fire TV better than on the Roku because the picture's a little better. But anyway, so supposedly Apple has surpassed the Roku. 10% of all devices use access services like Netflix and Amazon Prime are through the Apple TV, supposedly. I didn't know you could even look at Amazon Prime on Apple TV. That's a new one for me. But, of course, Apple has now announced, or it's been rumored, that we're not going to get to see new Apple TV at the WWDC. Really? Apple, you know, sorry. Open that stupid thing up. Let us write app. Let's build apps to that thing. You can bring the TV stuff later. Bring us an update to Apple TV. We've been waiting for it forever. I know I have. It's just, you know, I'm sure that there's... We just shake our head. My team does. Well, I guess they don't have to worry. They already own 85, 86% of the podcast listening market. That should incense you Android listeners out there. Go start recruiting Android listeners to this podcast. Let's close the gap, Android. And someone had mentioned to me the other day, are you sure, Todd, that only, you know, and in this show, it's like 85-15. 85% of you that listen to the show are on an iOS device. 15% of you are on Android. So it's the Android users, you got to start recruiting. Bring 10 new listeners to the show, you know, bring 100. You know, that we ought to start some sort of contest to do that. But come on, Apple TV, give me a break. All right, documents are showing that, and this is, we're flipping the lid here completely. Documents show that DEA is running ever-increasing number of wiretap applications through friendly local courts. So if you're out there selling weed or any other type of illegal substance in some states, the DEA is conducted, of course, the DEA is federal, so they can, they don't care. State stuff doesn't necessarily agree with them. But the DEA has conducted 11,681 electronic intercepts in fiscal year that ended in September. 10 years earlier, the Drug Enforcement Agency only did 3,394. DEA agents now take 60% of those requests directly to a local prosecutor and judges from New York to California, whose current and former officials say often approve them more quickly and easily. So out there doing the deed. Be prepared to spend some time in the slammer. All right, Nest has got a big announcement coming on June 17th. So I'm excited to hear what they have to say. Of course, I'll be back here in the studio. I'll be back in Honolulu for that. And, of course, Neat is now, Nest is now a company that is owned by Google. So maybe we're going to finally get some new stuff. And we will see what's going to happen here. But again, Nest is holding a press conference on June 17th, along with about 25 presidential candidates. How many? So, we always should have started just, you know, we should have had a board back here, a pool going, and everyone picked a number. And how many Republican presidential candidates? Or was it 10, 15, 20? You know, so the real pool is Donald Trump going to announce? You know, holy cow, we've got the entire lineup. You've got 15, 16, 17 Republicans, I think, all going after Hillary. Jeez. Oh my gosh. If nothing else, they will talk so, oh please, God help us all. And there's a few candidates on that have already said, please, no, not again. Go home. Oh. You know, I get mailings from both the Republican National Committee and the Democrat National Committee. I get both. I've never donated to either, and I get both. I did do a local candidate once on either side, and so I guess I'm on their list. Jeez. Oh, man. It's funny. It really, really is. It's just they all go in the trash. Okay. Twitter. Boy, they just love to make companies mad. Twitter just caught off, and this was a great site. It's called Politwhoops, and it was basically a site that basically tracked tweets that politicians deleted. So they've 86 Politwhoops, and it was a wonderful project preserving the tweets deleted by government officials and public officials. So when someone said something and they said, "Oops," the politician deleted it, they had already indexed it and kept it. And so Twitter didn't say why. I would imagine what it is somebody in a very, very high place probably went to him and said, "I delete tweets. I don't want them seen." And someone over there was, probably politically inclined to allow that person's tweets to be, to be deleted and not seen by the public or to try to be covered up. So someone else will figure something out. They'll put page refreshes on their Twitter feeds and do screenshots and get them that way. So someone will figure out how to get the dirt out. They might be wise to figure out what they're going to tweet, not in the heat of the moment either. All right, U.S. prosecutor says that clearing a browser cache could be obstruction of justice. So The Nation is reported that 24-year-old, I'm not even going to pronounce his first name, it's the guy that was an associate of the convicted Sanarva brother, who this individual was facing charges of conspiring with him, but of obstructing justice. And one aspect of the actions he took should probably concern anyone who has crossed a path online or in real life with the subject of a law enforcement officer, or if you're under scrutiny, or a friend or a family member is under scrutiny, is he cleared his browser cache and he deleted video. Basically, he cleared his computer so they couldn't see what he'd been looking at. The feds arrested and indicted him in May of 2014. There were three counts for making false statements based on the aforementioned lies, and remarkably, one counted for destroying any record, document, or tangible object with intent to obstruct a federal investigation. The last charge was for, again, deleting videos on his computers that may have demonstrated his own terrorist sympathies. So if you have, if you're associated with someone that does something very, very bad, and they kick your door in, and you have cleared your cache because you know they're going to come look at your computer, and just be wise that you will likely be charged with obstruction of justice. But we will see where this goes. Yeah, isn't that, the thing is, it's about self-incrimination, right? You have the right to remain silent. So do you have the right to delete what's on your computer to not incriminate yourself? I bet you that's going to be a Supreme Court type of challenge, because let's think about that for a second. You as a person have the right to remain silent and not incriminate yourself. Your spouse cannot be compelled to testify against you. But your computer, which contains probably every intimate thing you do on the internet, was an extension of you that probably knows more about you if it could talk than maybe your spouse. I would hope not, but it's probably true. That device, that intimate object, that piece of metal of carbon and electrons, then isn't afforded that right, because it's not a human breathing thing. So I guess if you don't want something seen by the folks that are going to kick your door in, you better delete what's on there and you just, go with the flow then and take the charge. But, it's kind of like Let's just really think about this. You know, let's not downplay what these guys did. It was horrible. And all of them are going to get plenty of time. Maybe not enough time. But anyway, you know, if you are know that they're coming for you, you know you're dirty. And you think, okay, what's on my computer? Are they going to find bad stuff on there? And you start wiping stuff? It's like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? Because if they get your computer, they're going to find the stuff and they're probably going to add more charges on. So what's worse, the obstruction of justice charge or what they find on your computer? They're going to go to Google, look what you Googled. They're going to go to YouTube and get that data. So maybe they're going to retrace that data anyway. Can you really hide? Maybe not. But it is an interesting thought process that you can run through on this. What would you guys do, hypothetically? Would you delete the cash? Or would you let the feds kick the door in and, here's my computer? There are some stuff about passwords, too. You don't have to be inclined to give up your password. Yeah, although there's been some rules on that, but interesting. This next story is just to me like, whoa. This is cool. There's a new blood test that will show all the viruses you've ever been infected with. So you guys know what happens when you get sick and you've had a virus. The body fights it off, and you know, the red and white blood cells, you know, they do their thing. And when it's all said and done, then a little bit of that virus has been left behind in basically defense mechanism, and you now have a maybe limited or somewhat better ability to fight that virus off the next time. So again, this new blood test shows all the viruses you've ever been infected with. And there's a company now that is doing testing, and they're calling it immunological memory, meaning that our immune cells remember all the viruses we've encountered in the past. It's a biological system that helps us speed up our immune response during the future encounters with the same viruses. Researchers tapped this memory tool to figure out virus infection histories for over 500 people across four continents. They had built a library up, and what they found was that on average, in this group that they checked, and they didn't get, again, not a big pool, but on average, the researchers had detected immune system responses for 10 viral species per person, though two individuals displayed antibody responses to 84. Those folks must have been around a lot of sick people. Lerm and his team also found the number of viruses detected by a person's immune system varies according to age, HIV status, and geography. The virus that came up the most often was Epstein-Barr virus, which is responsible for mononucleosis. And anyway, very, very cool. It's called VirusScan. And the test is cheap. Analyzing blood cells costs between around $2,500. $25. But the, I believe the FDA said more test is needed. You cannot do this here legally. There's a regulatory process they have to go through. But this is cool. It can tell you, you know, what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. They're going to be able to say, oh, your immunology, your virus scan is low. We're going to do some gene therapy, and we're going to give you a shot to build up your immunity to this, this, and this before you go here. I can see that happening. I can see that becoming a business. Medicine is going to get pretty specific, and they're already getting close. This next story, too, on the science front, All right, do we have anybody that listens to the show that has lost a limb? It's got to be, my God, tragic. You know, the fellas coming back from the war, the lost legs, arms. I mean, just horrific injuries. Car accidents taking people's legs. You know, it's not good. You know, we are, you know, when bad things happen, your body's not always controlled, and the arm goes in the direction it shouldn't, and the next thing you don't have an arm. Well, scientists are one step closer to growing replacement limbs. And how they've done this is, oh, wow. This is really nuts. Okay. This is radical, and this is kind of ugh. So what they've done is they're using a technique called decal-recal. Now, this process has already been used to grow hearts, lungs, and kidneys within the confines of a petri dish. But rather than building a fresh arm, now, this gets a little gross. The decal-recal process requires scientists to decellularize organs from a deceased donor. Now, as New Scientist describes it, that means washing, and what they wash in, I have no idea, a forearm from a previously expired, now in this case, a rodent, but think about a human. So you've had someone that's died, they've cut the arm off, and they're decellularizing the organ, and it's washing a forearm again until just the scaffold remains. Now, what the heck that really means is a little bit wow, too. It's a clumsy metaphor, but imagine that you could rinse off the mushy stuff until the biological equivalent of an ice cube tray remains. This empty receptacle retains the structure of the component with none of the icky bits. So I guess skin, fat, does that include muscle? I guess the nerves remain. After that, the scaffold is seeded with cells from the eventual recipient and nourished, so the cells grow themselves into a new body part. In this case, the team used the forearm of a deceased rat, washed it down, added some fresh cells, and wired it up to a machine that kept its tissue alive. In under 3 weeks, blood vessels and muscles had built themselves across the structure, and the teams just had to graft on some skin to complete the project. Holy smokes. One of the biggest issues in transplant science is that the human body tends to fight a foreign body part that's just implanted. We all know that. Those who have received organ transplants are often consigned to a lifetime of immune suppressant drugs so that their own self-defense system doesn't try to kill the thing that's keeping them alive. By using donor organs as templates for your own cells to grow, the issue of rejection no longer applies. It's similar to how Dutch scientists now encourage rats to regrow block blood cells around a dissolved prosthesis. Folks, it isn't going to be long. I'm here to tell you. It is not going to be long because, Mr. Cochran, you've got a couple of plugged arteries going to your heart. We're going to put you on some blood thinners. Maybe we're going to put a stent in. But in about 3 months, we're going to have you come back. We're going to do open heart surgery on you, and we're going to put new veins in you. They're going to replace some of these arteries that feed the heart, arms, where people have issues. I'm not kidding. This whole medicine thing is, if someone had told me 20 years ago that they were going to be able to grow an arm, that they took off a dead person, I would have said, you're simply insane. Talk about some Frankenstein stuff going on. Who thinks this stuff up? But isn't it cool? Isn't it cool? Oh, man. All right, I've gotten too wrapped around the axle here tonight. Let's talk about SpaceX. SpaceX is, and yes, we're going from gore to space. A SpaceX new satellite network will beam down internet access. Elon Musk, PayPal co-founder, now leading Tesla and SpaceX, never seems to be short on radical ideas. His outfit has filed an application with the FCC last week for a network of satellites that will beam down internet access to areas that have little or almost no connection. So they're going to put 3 satellites up, and they're going to launch from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. These are going to be low-hanging satellites. The test satellites will provide internet broadband to 3 locations: Redmond, Washington; Fremont, California; and Hawthorne, California. Why not Quincy, Michigan? Okay. Once the testing is completed, more satellites will probably be sent up to connect more remote parts. And these are satellites that won't have a long lifetime because they'll be pretty low in orbit. So cool. Another thing from NASA talking about they're going to be restoring and plans a 4-year restoration of the 50-year-old Mission Control Center in which the last Apollo mission was flown out of. Also, NASA has been working really, really hard to come up with a new propulsion system to get people to Mars. They've looked at over 40 potential propulsion systems to try to shorten the trip to Mars. 41, excuse me. And they've been, you know, going through them one at a time. And one of the things that's looking most promising is a solar-powered type of engine, which is kind of cool. But they're all trying to figure out how to get there cheaper, lighter, and faster. And speed is a big part of it because you speed up half the way there and you have to slow down the other half. Okay, back into tech. Chromebook with MediaTek chipset has been demonstrated. If you're a Chromebook fan, you're going to want to watch this video. This is the fastest ARM processor out there, the MT8173 by MediaTek. And there's been some rumor about this coming, but UberGizmo has a great article about what's going on. Snappy what they've done here. So link will be up in the show notes. There's been a proof of concept done on basically being able to trick an iPhone into basically popping up a screen to try to make it think that when you're in a pay situation, when you're using the Apple Pay app, to make you basically say, hey, you need to reconfirm your credit card. And it's really just a Wi-Fi portal spoofing you. As you guys know, if you've got your Wi-Fi turned on, you go someplace with your iPhone, it just tries to connect to any Wi-Fi it can, which is kind of crazy. I wish they'd stop that. That's why I turn my Wi-Fi off religiously when I'm not on my own Wi-Fi. But anyway, proof of concept. They've turned it over to Apple. We'll see if they ever fix it. Doubtful. But just be careful when you're out there connecting and make sure that you're looking at the networks you're associated with. All right, there were 7 secret discoveries inside the Android M code. Ars Technica looked through the code from Android M, saying that Android is being much more careful than previous years when it comes to leaving details in its Android code that could point to future software releases. Even still, Google wasn't able to hide everything. According to Ars, all future Android devices could receive native tap to wake support, similar to what's available on certain HTC and LG phones, as Google could embed the functionality in Android. Furthermore, Android headsets that have built-in fingerprint sensors will apparently have to pack the good kind of sensor. In other words, you just put your thumb on it and it reads it. Android's M new backup service apparently headed to Google Play service. And Google's default calculator app will be available in the Play Store as a standalone app. The code also suggests Google's also apparently interested in rolling out a time-based automatic night mode setting for Android M, which might work through the system, not just through apps. And they also are looking at having a dismiss all button as an location overview and a better Easter egg than the one currently available in the beta. So that is some secret stuff that they think they found in the code. If you're a Steam fan, I got some kids that are loving the Steam games, but the Steam consoles are now available to be ordered. So Steam Machine Sega's Valve's first unveiled its vision course of the living room. Domination and high-powered PCs running a special Steam-flavored version of Linux. But now we've got a bunch of stuff coming out. Alienware and CyberPower, $499. And NVIDIA's got one. Doesn't say the price, but a whole bunch of them are available to order, okay? So be available. You can order the machines now. There's stuff that's still not going to deliver to like September, but pre-order is available. Hey, if you live in China, and I know we've got a few listeners there. I don't know if we got any high school students that listen to this show, but you know, you guys got to take that test over there. This test that makes these high schoolers jump off buildings and stuff. It's really high stress time for young adults. They're getting ready to take this test. But they got a lot of cheating that's going on, and they're going to all kinds of extent to cheat on this test. People wearing glasses with a camera, with an audio feedback, and you know, it's buzzing on the ear, all kinds of different things. So now they're going to use drones to spot exam cheaters. They're going to fly a drone above the schools, and they're going to look for radio signals that should not be there, and track the radio signals down and try to stop people from cheating on this national test these teenagers or these young adults have to take. And again, it's called the Gaoko. It's a highly intense two-day exam. And anyway, they're going to be flying drones to try to detect the cheaters. All right, we talked a little bit already about Apple TV required for full smart home. Won't go into that any deeper, but I have a link up in the show notes about that. Also, if you haven't played with an Android TV yet, that Nexus one is fantastic. The Android TV now has over 600 new channels in the Play Store. It's exploding. This has been like boom. Everyone is, it's a race to the finish line on these set-top boxes now. So if you've got an Android TV and you haven't been in it in a couple of days, the channel is expanded. For anyone that, and I got a runny nose, I apologize. For any of you that listen to this podcast in Latin America, Sling TV launches standalone service for Latinos. So again, it's a Spanish-speaking app for Spanish-speaking audience in the U.S., but now the company's taking it one step further with Sling Latino, a standalone service for people that are interested in having access to channels in Espanol. The main package is $12 per month. And where's it? Is it only available in the U.S.? I guess so. So it's got a handful of, I guess, about 22 channels. Aztec America, Galavision, Bein Sports, and Espanol, Univision, Unimas, Univision Deportes Network, Univision Telenovas. I don't speak Spanish, obviously, so I'm sorry. But anyway, it's all specifically targeted towards the Latino community. Very, very cool. All right, Apple Watch sales begin within 2 weeks. Are you excited? All right, have you decided to get one yet? Have you guys been thinking about an Apple Watch? Been seeing them around? Been seeing a few? I have to admit, they're pretty sexy. Went into an Apple store recently and touched one for the first time. Played with it for literally 30 seconds before I had to leave. So it's coming. Are you going to buy one? Are you going to go to the store and check it out? I'll admit, I'm going to go to the store and check it out. Can I resist? I hope. Also, they're finding out people using the Apple Watch are taking their cell phone out of their pocket less. Matter of fact, an average person that uses an iPhone pulls their iPhone out 110 times a day. And when people are using the Apple Watch, it's reduced as little as 33 times a day. So instead, you're looking at your watch. They think you can save money and, in essence, ultimately pay for your cell phone. Good try. Sergey Ben opens up a little bit about self-driving car accidents and basically says, hey, a lot of people are running into us. There's a lot of bad drivers out there. He kind of goes into detail. There's a video where he talks about it at the 55-minute mark. If you want to listen to it, I'll have the link up in the show notes on that, but pretty good details. Also, more stuff coming out about the, some stuff coming out about, you know, monitoring the internet or something like that. It's just ongoing. And these documents are going to continue to leak out. I didn't read anything. I just saw some news headlines today. But I've got something up from Gizmodo that I'll get into. I'm not at this point big on talking about Snowden links. I think that he continues to, do damage. And someday someone's going to get him. There'll be two bullets to the back of the head with that dude. All right, Gawker Media votes to unionize. Yesterday, more than 100 Gawker Media editorial employees voted on the question on whether to be represented by the Writers Guild of America. 80 votes yes, 27 votes no. I'm sure Gawker Media is really happy about that. Periscope, you've been using it for iOS, has been updated, brings new map view to help you discover interesting streams. I've been playing with it. It's so much junk. There's really nothing I found that's been overwhelming on Periscope so far. It's cool, but nothing super compelling. If you are a host for an Airbnb, Airbnb is using a machine learning to help hosts make as much money as possible. So, the thing I like about Airbnb is I like to be able to kind of shop around. And, so now Airbnb is making it easier for hosts to see exactly where they should set the price of their property on a day-to-day basis. You know, come on. I'll just go stay at a hotel. Because that's what's going to end up being. I don't get it. I really don't. Come on, set the price. So now what they're trying to do is maximize profits for Airbnb and the host. But the thing was, is this was about finding a good deal. And, you know, paying a fair rate, don't get me wrong. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes. And smart Airbnb host will undercut using that tool. Good news out of Chrome. A Chrome beta now automatically pauses less important Flash content to boost performance and battery life. I don't know if it's going to help the load at all, but the feature is enabled by default in Chrome beta for Windows, Mac, Linux. While it will eventually be hit the Chrome stable channel, Google expects could arrive as soon as September. You can enable it for yourself in the interim. And it basically lets you set some exceptions and be able to kind of help. And I think they're trying to get the overhead down on Chrome. But, you know, let's be honest. It can be pretty piggish when you open a bunch of tabs. Department of Energy's Bioengineering Science Center announced a major breakthrough in the biofuel field yesterday. Now, I'm not at all a big fan of ethanol. I really am not. And it's partly from a car perspective. But what they've been able to come up with is they are now able to have a high yield yeast that converts 97% of a plant's sugars to biofuel. So I guess if you take the crop off and you use the remaining pieces to do the, you know, break it down and get ethanol out of it, I guess get more 50% more fuel out of it. That's a huge increase. Again, it's 97% of a plant's sugars convert to biofuel, not 97% of the entire plant. And that was the case even before. So it used to be you could get about 30 to 40% of a plant's sugars versus now 97. So those of you that like the ethanol, it's corn, and more corn. And we're good at raising corn in the United States. All right, Line is moving into group calling with an app called Popcorn Buzz. It lets you talk with up to 200 people for free. I'm sure the teenagers are absolutely going to go crazy about this. And it's available for the Android app. It's Android and an iOS app to come soon. So again, it's called Popcorn Buzz. Again, it lets you talk to up to 200 people for free at the same time. Let's see here. I think I got one more article for you tonight. And yes, it's more of a news story. Virgin Media has won again. It's 11th patent case against Roe v. And Roe v. is just, man, they keep losing these patent trials. And so this particular judgment is going to cost Roe v. about £850,000. So the Roe v. folks definitely dumping a lot of cash the wrong way. What they tried to put the squeeze on people on patents has not worked out so well for them. Okay, so we're just about here at the end of the show today. And I've tried to do a little pruning with the show. And even during the show tonight, I killed a couple articles that I thought I wanted to talk about. Just trying to not go as deep. I have a tendency to want to talk about too much stuff. So spend a little more time on a few topics. I hope you guys notice and appreciate that. And having me spend a little more time digging in deep when I can. Not always do I have a super deep opinion on something. But I want to thank Jeff, who sent me an email about, again, a Game Boy being able to run XSL video games. From NES old school type. And also, I think I have an email here this came from Edwin. He said, "Hey, Todd, I think you're wrong with regards to Android listeners in your show. I've been listening for probably 10 years and now invite others to, wondering how you know what devices people are using. Pocket Cast is probably the most popular podcast app on Android, by the way. Perhaps you're confusing us with iOS subscriptions on the same app." No, I don't think so. But here's the situation. Regardless of what app you use, the Android platform as a whole, I know exactly what everyone's using from an app standpoint on the show. And I'll probably what I should do is on the next show, I should bring that up as a screen drop so you guys can see it. But what's up happening is that Stitcher has about 3.5% of the Android market share. They are the number one, absolute number one Android app for listening to podcasts is Stitcher. And then it follows, let's see, a couple of other apps. Let me, actually the number one at this time, hang on, let me go over and I'll tell you guys in just a second. Podcast Addict. Is that the app you were just talking about? No, you're talking about Pocket Cast. Podcast Addict is one of the top ones that listen to this show. Beyond Pod's another, because we've been promoting a lot. If you're using Pocket Cast, that's great. You need to tell the Pocket Cast app developer to support one-click subscribe on Android. They haven't jumped on board yet. So we want them to. We want all these apps to do. So if you're using an app that is not Podcast Addict, Podcast Republic, Simple Podcatcher, Podcatcher Deluxe or Video Podcatcher Deluxe, if it's not one of those five, please tell your app developer, please support OneClick and send them over to subscribe on Android.com. We've got a developer's link over there on the page so that basically shows them the little piece of code they can put in their app. But that being said, the percentage points of number of listeners that listen to this show, like 3.5% are on Stitcher. Everything else, all the other Android listeners are on other apps below that 3.5% line, okay? And it's a number of them. And some people come on a tablet, just watch on the website. But overall, the number of people that listen to the show on Android is, and it's this is globally. This is not just my show, okay? Just so you know, globally, iOS 86-87% of the entire, either it would be on the iPad app, on the iPad, the phone, on iTunes, on the podcast app in iOS, whatever ecosphere, the entire iOS ecosphere owns 87%. The rest, BlackBerry, Android, Windows Phone, make up the rest of that 13% that listen to podcasts globally. Okay. There's more Android users out there. That number should be much higher, which is one of the reasons why we introduced Subscribe on Android. We want to make it easier for the Android listeners to subscribe to podcasts. It's not. If you're not a geek, you have to go load the app. You have to find the show. You have to go click. And next thing you know, they say, forget it. We want them to be able to have the same experience. And this is why we introduced Subscribe on Android.com. You see it on Geekness Central. This is why we did that, to make it easy to gain Android subscribers. Used to be, I had to go through this whole explanation. Now, I just tell people, go click on the Android link on the website, and you're done. If we're going to, if you don't have the app that supports one click, we're going to take you to one that has one. We're going to have you load it, and from then on, you go to any podcast, one click subscribe, boom, you're in. You don't have to push a bunch of buttons. And for those of you that are on Android that don't understand how that works, essentially, taking my iOS device, it used to be, I just click on the iTunes link, and the podcast app loads. And I say subscribe, and I'm done. I'm subscribed to the show. Prior to subscribe on Android.com, that did not happen with Android. It's multiple clicks to get there. And most Android users said, screw it, I'm not going to do that. It's not worth it. So we've got a solution for you all now. We want the Android listeners to be here. Believe me, I do. And we can double this audience, you know, and if we could get, if we could equal the numbers out, holy cow, you have no idea how much of a big difference it would make. Okay, I've digressed and talked way too long. We're way over. Everyone, thanks for being here. Geeknews@gmail.com, @geeknews on Twitter. Send your comments. Send your thoughts. Appreciate all the insiders. Thanks so much. We'll be recognizing them here in a couple of days. Thank you. And thank you for supporting our sponsor, GoDaddy and Harrys.com, using the promo code GeekNews. Everyone take care. We'll see you on Monday. Everyone take care. Aloha. Bye-bye.